Okay, hello everyone. Thank you for joining us on this almost Friday. This week we are talking all about Stadia again. This is our second All Stadia cast, I believe, and I guess we're starting with there was some major news today with Google laying out what's coming this year, specifically in the next 3 months. But before that, I actually wanted to discuss how everybody's experience with Stadia has been.
Phenomenal. For the most part.
Yeah, so, pretty good.
I think Kyle is the most active player out of all of us here.
For sure.
It's not like every time I log in, I never see any of you online. It's not like Steven hasn't even claimed his buddy code, right?
That is to be determined.
Oh, we still don't know. Okay.
To be determined. Okay. But yeah, no, I honestly see you every evening playing Destiny.
Yeah, it happens. It's an interesting thing for me because up to this point, we could never afford to get my wife hardware to play with me at the same time. Mm-hmm. And now that she's able to play through Stadia on whatever Chromebook or phone that she has handy, it's pretty convenient. So we just do.
It's really underappreciated, that multiplayer aspect, even like in the same household, even. That's really underplayed how today's modern consoles can't do that split screen stuff, and the requiring you to buy a whole other console is so cost prohibitive for many, many people. Like, the idea of having a second console in the home is wild.
A second console and a second display to play it on.
Yes, display. So that's very true.
Yeah, televisions are not investment. Cheap.
No, they are not.
And they are easy to fit in your house unless you're Ben, who if he panned his camera, you would see.
Oh, no, it's gone.
Oh, okay.
It's gone.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
I'm going to have to send that back.
For me, I guess I've just been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I've put in like 60 hours into it or something, beat the main campaign, and again, I'm still only playing on a Pixel 2 XL on that tiny 6-inch screen, which I'm really not getting the benefits of beautiful ancient Greek graphics out of. But this is the first time I'm playing like a console, like a AAA title, really, in that kind of breadth and depth. So yeah, I like it. It's the getting into it is just so easy, really. It's just again, plugging in a controller is via USB-C cable is kind of weird. And like making like a little stand set up for the phone is also annoying.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's great. How about you, Ben?
I haven't played it very much just because I haven't had time to play many video games very much. But I've been playing a little bit of everything in my library, with Grid and Trials and Tomb Raider and all that.
Yeah. The free stuff really does help for like
so much.
Yeah, it's again like it's. I think there is a when discussion of whether Stadia Base versus Stadia Pro comes. I think the free games thing is really like, I know Google has been trying to get away from the idea of Netflix for video games, but I think Pro, if you got in very early and have like six free games, it is a subscription, really, if you think about it.
And yeah, my only complaint with all of it so far is that the other night I was trying to play Thumper, and it took like 20 minutes to figure out my headphone situation.
Really?
I had no 3.5 millimeter headphones.
Oh, yes.
nothing else worked. So that was very fun. But aside from that, it's been great.
Yeah. Headphone situation, which USB-C audio is still not supported for whatever reason. Well, probably due to streaming. But again, it's for when it works very well. So in terms of like looking at Stadia beyond our personal experiences with it, looking at it as a product, as a platform, it's been 8 weeks as of this past Tuesday. What do you think about the rate of updates and the rate of change?
Much slower than I would have expected, to be honest with you.
Honestly, the holiday timing kind of was horrible for it, because they had 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe before the holidays got started in earnest, and there was obviously going to be no updates.
Yeah, that was bad timing, but good timing. It was good timing for them to launch it. It was bad timing for them to update anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and that has contributed to a sentiment of why is Google not updating? But like, considered as a Google service in general, this is seeing more rapid updates than basically anything else they offer.
Absolutely, by far. Like it's almost as though it's run by a completely different team.
Yeah,
which I guess is kind of reflective of their hiring practices. It seemed like there's, other than the key people, like I can't remember his name, the guy who's like famous for Chromecast, like other than like him and
Maj McCaw.
Yes. Other than him, it seems like they hired from outside to get this done, which might be why like the support is so good and the community updates are frequent enough, or at least more frequent than Google does. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different, but if you see what the most rabid people are saying, it's not fast enough. And what is fair? I guess what I'm wondering from the both of you is, would you think that it's been enough? It's been just right? It's been too slow? Or what is your perception on this? On the state of updates and the speed of updates?
Google doesn't know yet. They're still figuring that out for themselves. They didn't go into this with a plan.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think now what they're doing is enough. It was at launch that they had an issue because they weren't responding to anything or clarifying anything when it first started. Now they're finally getting to the point where it feels like they at least have a somewhat clear offer.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I do wonder if they've been forced to speed up from, like, if the expectation from the community has changed their timelines and how communicative they would be with the outside world.
Absolutely. It seemed like they tried to respond to the community's demands by doing daily updates, only to realize that they didn't have enough to share daily.
Yeah.
So then they adjusted to weekly. But that, again, that just tells me they didn't go in with a plan. They didn't know how frequently the updates were coming. They didn't have a short-term roadmap of updates that they could share.
Yeah, it is... Honestly, going into it, I thought the update cycle would be more similar to the Chrome usual six-week cycle. Mm-hmm. Like this rapid pace of updates coming from Google, it's weekly. Like in the very early days, it was weekly. They were tweaking things pretty fast and introducing stuff pretty fast. So that's, again, this is for Google in general, the scale is pretty quick. So that is something, but again, most people aren't expecting more. And it'll be interesting to see once like the original feature set is out there, is feature complete. It'll be interesting to see if they like gradually slow it down, because they can't keep this up.
At that point, they'll be able to share library updates and things like that, rather than needing to necessarily worry about platform updates. They can garner community excitement by sharing new games coming to the platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess like the idea is that then they're So this the idea of like a public, like whether what happened in November was a beta launch or a public launch, as Google has been advertising it as. Where do you two fall down on that at this point?
I mean, the way they advertised it at the beginning, I still think was very wrong. But I think they're slowly gaining traction on all of it. They're making sense of everything.
Mm-hmm. Kyle?
So it's this weird, it's in such a weird place. I don't even know where to start. Like they advertised it to the wrong people. They probably sold it at the wrong time. I don't know. There's just so many things that don't add up. Like the Google didn't know who their market was, and they just kind of put it out there when it was ready, I guess. Or in their eyes, ready enough. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is kind of closer to a beta than a full retail launch, despite their claims otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, with all that recap that we've just had, let's jump right into what they announced today. So starting with the feature set, I'm kind of surprised that they outlined it this explicitly, that the big tentpole features for the next 3 months are going to be support for 4K gaming on the web, which I think is very something that most people want.
Yes.
It might be the most important. Further assistant functionality when playing on the web, which I kind of think assistant isn't there yet in that sense.
What does further mean? Because I don't think there is assistant on the web in Stadia right now. So what does further mean?
I guess just being able to open games with assistant, but from the web.
But why?
Because they need to be able to say the assistant button does a thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. There's no other reason, because realistically, until they have it to where assistant actually plays a role in these games, it's kind of a pointless thing to have anyway.
Yeah, it's like voice is useful. Of course, Stadia needs some kind of voice assistant feature. Like, it's assistant as this Google spanning thing. There must be some assistant integration here into our flagship new service.
Yeah. Has to, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, by crook.
Actually, the other day, on the Stadia dev website, I saw they mentioned one interesting use of assistant that hasn't been brought up. I'm pulling it up now, but
has that received updates at all? I've been trying to watch. I thought everything that's there had been there since GDC.
Yeah, it's still everything between since GDC, but let's see. This is reading a quote. The Stadia controller features a dedicated Google Assistant button that enables new engagement scenarios, such as live gameplay help, firing up a multiplayer session, sharing gameplay clips, and more. I think those last two things are new. Multiplayer session and sharing gameplay clips. That was never discussed on stage, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think there's still, I mean, they haven't even gotten just the act of saving clips or sharing a stream or sharing a screenshot or a screenshot. There's none of that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we jump into what's not here, let's wrap up the other two things. Support for additional Android phones. Yay. Google has already been testing this. And I do think it's going to be pretty wide when they launch it. What they're testing on right now is S9s, Note 9s, just like a Huawei phone. As Google proved with like the Pixel 3a, specs don't really matter. Yeah.
And realistically, it only has to run on Samsung phones.
That is true. How far back do you think it's going to, like, what do you think the actual criteria is going to be here?
Pi
and up.
I would think Pi, but I don't know. It seems like everything goes back to Marshmallow right now.
Yeah. Pi would be market share wise, it would be kind of prohibitive.
Even Oreo would be fine.
Even though, yeah. But at the same time, Google only has experience with Android 10. Well, I guess some people are still on Pi, but it's they're targeting 10. Very odd.
Asking 10 is a big ask.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
And it's a huge ask. There's no way they'd be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah. How about years? What? Well, years in OS, I guess.
It's equivalent with Android, sadly.
Yeah. Sadly. So yeah. So yeah, I definitely think mid-range phones and up definitely will get support. It'll be interesting to see what the lowest power spec phone is going to be, end up going to be.
I mean, they do say they want to get the next billion gamers. So
yeah.
Tying that with next billion users, who knows?
I guess it would be the same spec requirement as like pairing a smartwatch. So like a gig and a half of RAM. And I'm going to basically say it's not going to work on Android Go. And that's about it.
Ooh, that's bold. That's pretty bold. How about tablets?
I don't see why not.
It darn well better. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, first they need to add a landscape view for the app, but
that's the weird thing. Out of the blue, and the Stadia app hasn't updated. Out of the blue, I opened up the Stadia app and it was in landscape. It looked ugly as all get out. Yes. It opened.
I always see it that way once I exit games, since I don't have rotation on. I have rotation locked, so I always see it briefly. I don't think there's any real reason for that, is there? That artificial limitation of why there isn't a landscape view.
They didn't put the time to make a landscape view look good. It's very ugly. So
it's just mind-boggling to me that that's not supported in the first place, because, yeah, you exit a game, you're still in a landscape view. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, and they're doing it all with Flutter, which means once they get it done for Android, it's done for iOS, and it's not that hard to do either. So, or I say that, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense, but whatever.
They could literally just copy the view that they have on Chromecast and put that on the phone and on landscape and call it good.
Yeah. Or the one they have on Chrome desktop.
Yeah, same thing.
So, and the last thing they announced was wireless controller support on the web for the Stadia controller, which is
but not on phones.
Not yet. On phones yet. It's very like obviously at launch they saw Chromecast and TVs as the most important thing. Next, they're moving down to the web, which is I think a good. The light progression, right?
Yeah, because it pulls in Chrome OS and it pulls in, you know, every Windows laptop ever. And as far as device count, I feel like it's pulling in the most, because if they don't support an Android tablet yet, Android's not really their primary or even secondary platform for Stadia. It just happens to be, hey, by the way,
you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said yourself, even the Pixel 2 XL is not optimal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it's the web is getting a lot of love from Stadia. But I don't know how to interpret what Google announced today. Is this, again, there's like stuff missing. No feature parity on phones for any of these features. There's still no YouTube sharing. What else is missing?
Ability to take screenshots
and share them.
You can't even take them. That's so bizarre to me. It's just a button press, and it happens on the server side, presumably. What's happening? Why can't my phone send a button?
My personal theory on that is they haven't gotten down like. So it's the HID, the controller HID stuff is, I just assume it doesn't have that command, right? It doesn't support any commands beyond the traditional controls.
But the app recognizes the button press and says that you can't do it yet.
That is true. So what is happening?
Beats me.
I don't know. Yes, I mean, it is.
I'm intrigued to see how the wireless pairing with the controller goes to Chrome browser, considering you have to do the weird pairing code to get it to Chromecast.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still going to have to do that when we want to do it to Chrome on the browser?
In what alternative are you thinking?
I do not know. Associating a controller with an account and, your account has a Stadia stream connected to that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Or maybe something as simple as like when you click down that controller menu, all you have to do is just tap a button to identify a controller. Yeah.
But
yeah, 3 months, and this is, which is, I'm curious how much of that 3 months they're going to take to do everything. Whether this is going to be a March 31st kind of situation before everything starts rolling out. But yeah, I think this is the features that people wanted. And you took the little poll on Twitter today, and 60 votes, around 60 votes, 12% wanted the wireless web controller, 21% wanted 4K gameplay on Chrome, 28% wanted expanded phone support, and the bulk of people, 40%, just wanted more games.
Well, we got all of them. We're getting most of those, or all of them. That's crazy.
Yeah. So Google announced that Stadia is tracking 120 games. And in, what is it, the first quarter, the first half was the guidance they gave for 10?
The first half.
First half, with the tease that we're working with our partners to share more on those games soon, which sounds like another Stadia Connect.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because we already know two of them, don't we? I'm trying to remember. I know we definitely, there's
Get Packed.
Yeah, Get Packed was the one, and then the,
Orcs Must Die.
Orcs. Yeah. Orcs Must Die 3 and Get Packed are the two, plus maybe that weird Spitlings one.
Yes, that's one.
We already know three of them, presumably, and that's assuming they're not counting Guilt as one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, honestly, Orcs and Get Packed are two of the games I've been looking forward to the most.
Yeah, Get Packed looks like a lot of fun.
I am afraid that most of those games are going to look more like Spitlings at indie studios, though. I do have a kind of a feeling that Google wants its indie cred.
I mean, if it's not priced,
it's not a bad thing.
And if it's priced appropriately, I'm all for it. Or giving some of these indie studios some exposure by throwing them up as Stadia Pro games, I'm all for it.
Yeah, indeed. It'll be Google is still trying to find like an audience, a market audience, and I think they have a good with what they're doing at the PlaySource stuff. They have a good run at indie titles.
I mean, realistically, that's part of what made the Switch such a hit among games, at least, is it had so much indie stuff.
Give me Binding of Isaac, give me Cuphead, give me games like that. Dicey Dungeons, stuff like that. Give me games. Give me indies. I'll take it. Yes. I want to play that, but I don't have any. Yeah, I would play it if it was on Stadia, but I don't have any. Yeah.
Other devices.
I'd finish it if it was on Stadia.
Yeah. I think it's on Switch, right?
Yeah, I played like half of it, and then I stopped playing it. I'll get there. Play Stadia, and no.
So the one advantage of these indie titles is that we saw a string of like major AAA titles just today and Tuesday, I think. Ben, you want to dive into that?
The
Avengers.
Sorry. Yes.
Elk favorite.
Yes. A bunch of games got delayed this week. Square Enix announced that Avengers is going to be delayed from, I think it was May until September, basically to kind of polish off the game and make sure it's just right, which is a good thing, but a bad thing. I really wanted to play it in May, but I can wait because it's probably going to make it a better game. and it's going to put less stress on the developers, which is always a good thing. Yeah, so that got delayed, and then today, Cyberpunk, which I know Kyle's looking forward to a lot, also got delayed till September for pretty much the same reason.
Yeah, it was interesting. Somebody, I wish I had their handle to call them out, but somebody on Twitter pointed out that that Square Enix delayed two games at the same time. They delayed Avengers to September, and they delayed Final Fantasy into April, the Final Fantasy VII Remake into April. And people at the time were complaining that, oh, that puts Final Fantasy VII Remake right into the same window as Cyberpunk. Ah, geez. And now Cyberpunk's been delayed into the same, into the new Avengers window. So it's like, that's weird.
So I think one theory going around is that these games are being saved for next-gen consoles.
Yeah, and I think that's got definitely got something to do with it.
I mean, Stadia is one of those.
So. But isn't September way too early for next-gen console launches?
Not really. Well, okay, yes and no. It's getting it means they'll definitely launch when those new consoles launch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which,
like, it means they'll have the game out in the wild, but then when the next console launches, it will be there the day the console's out.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saving time. Pros and cons, but I think that had something to do with it, at least.
Because,
you know, by then we'll know more about the PS5, we'll know more about the Xbox Series X, we'll know when they come out, we'll know how much they cost, more than likely.
At the same time, though, the people who care about these games, are they going to wait until the console comes out to be able to play it?
That's a great pitch for Stadia.
Bingo.
Yeah, it would have been really great if Stadia had these titles. If they launch when they launch and Stadia had these titles ready, like assuming you could by the same time, you could just subscribe to Stadia Pro monthly without needing to buy anything. That would have been a great in for Stadia as like a stopgap measure for people trying these new games without having to buy a new console. So that's
or
a shame.
Or wait for the new console.
Or wait for the new one, yeah.
Or buy it twice.
Yeah, the timing is really unfortunate. It could have benefited Google especially, but nope, that didn't happen.
Well, no, that is kind of what's happening.
Yeah, because, I mean, Stadia will have them for a couple months before those consoles come out.
Yeah, because the consoles won't come out till like, November. So if Stadia has it in September, there's going to be a lot of people who have PS4s and Xbox Ones, and they want to get the next best thing, so they're just going to sell their old console a couple months before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess they want to put the money towards a pre-order to make sure they actually get what they're pre-ordering. So that means it's going to be that awkward window of, oh, I don't have anything to play games on.
Yeah, and that's where Stadia will have a chance. That's a good time for them to kind of really put some money behind marketing it.
Interesting. That's an interesting outlook. No, because I was just thinking, what if, I don't know, what if like the PS5 launches way earlier than the Xbox? So if I know the Xbox has been targeting holiday 2020, but what if it were like just a much earlier window?
I doubt it. It's pretty traditional. They do it in like November or December.
Gotcha.
And I know that because I waited in line with some insane PS4 fans and froze my butt off.
Oh, really?
The original Xbox released on my birthday. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's devotion. That's commitment from the both of you. So yeah, 120 titles. Our thinking right now is that I think Ubisoft and Uplay Plus is going to end up contributing a lot of those to the platform.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'd wager probably Devolver Digital too.
Hmm. What kind of timeline are we expecting? Like, not timeline, number of games that are coming from Ubisoft.
I could be as much as 20, honestly.
Well, okay, real quick. We know that they, if I remember right, they said at some point that everything on Uplay Plus was eventually going to be on Stadia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they say? Okay.
There's 100 games and or DLC for Uplay Plus.
So if it's all just Ubisoft titles, that's
That would be funny. We have 100. We're tracking 120 titles. 20 of them are new. 100 of them are Ubisoft back catalog.
No, granted, that Ubisoft number is a lot of that is you games know expansions and DLC and all that. Like, there's like
Assassin's Creed has
20 Tom Clancy's on here and a ton of Assassin's Creed. Yeah, but yeah, that's still either way, it's a lot more content.
So what? Yeah, it is. But if we're making this assumption about what the bulk of those 120 are announcing, we still haven't heard things from other studios, right? Like that the initial Stadia Connect showed off like a lot of studios.
Yeah. I really think that Uplay Plus though is really going to find an interesting niche in people who just haven't gamed in the past. You know, maybe let's stretch it back to as much as a decade. Mm-hmm. I got disconnected from gaming a little bit around the time that I got married. Surprise. It's been really fun for me to go back and play for the first time the Tomb Raider series. And I feel like there's a good opportunity for that with Uplay, like the Watch Dogs series, the Assassin's Creed series. If they can port some of those back to be able to play through the whole series, that'd be nice. Like, I mean, Abner, would you go back and play some of the older Assassin's Creed titles, having just finished Odyssey?
Yeah, actually, this is a minor gripe. Do the graphics, like, okay, so with the Halo Master Chief Collection, even Halo 4, the graphics to me are like so lower res than Halo 5 that I'm kind of turned off from playing.
Are you comparing that? Are you taking that from what we were able to play on xCloud, or are you taking that from actual playtime?
Full Xbox. Actual Xbox with the full Master Chief Collection. I don't know, that's a weird thing for me, I think, that I couldn't find the graph. I couldn't stand the graphics. Like, I really wanted the full game experience of the 5. So, of Halo 5. But yeah, that's a minor thing for me.
Well, yeah, no, because it definitely degrades, and some are worse than others, yeah. Mm.
So in that sense, it's 120 titles, going back to the topic. That does seem like a lot for the year, but the breakup is going to really matter.
I think 120 is really just kind of the start, because like we were talking about earlier today when this came out. I mean, 120, that's what they were aware of in January. So that's you think, true. What are they going to find out in the next month even? You know, there might be a bunch of developers who they want to port their current games over. There might not be, but if there are, that's more titles that, you know, they're going to come out before the end of the year, and they're going to be added to that list.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, anything to add to the library is a good thing at this point, because the library is what everybody keeps criticizing them on. They keep banging on that as that's the reason why xCloud is better than Stadia. If they can fix that, Stadia really does stand a chance. It has the better streaming platform.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is. Is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of games? We didn't touch on Stadia Base yet. Which is looking like it's not launching in the next 3 months.
Surprisingly, because they just didn't mention it at all. We had all been kind of assuming that. Ooh, Ben, why do you do this to me now? It's been kind of seeming like as soon as the Stadia Pro membership runs out, that it would make sense that people would be able to fall back to Stadia Base. Like, they're not going to lock these people in to a subscription. So the Stadia Base in one form or another, if not the grander launch that lets everybody buy in, then at least the soft launch of founders and premier members falling back to Base has to launch soon. Has to launch in February. But they haven't talked about it at all. It's weird.
Yeah, the idea that again, at the same time, one way out of this is like it's Stadia based isn't necessarily a feature. It could just be that they didn't want to mention it today because it's like a more of a strategic thing for them to cover. So that could be a possible out for them.
At the same time, the implication was that when Stadia Pro launched or when Stadia Pro ran out, that Stadia Base would launch and that Stadia Base would be the opening for the rest of the world, essentially.
Okay, let's estimate that. Okay, let's assume that Stadia Base comes out after everything that Google announced today launch. Those 10 new exclusive titles, all those features for the web, the expanded phone support. Is that enough? Is that a convincing enough offering for most people?
I think Stadia Base's value, you know, speaking to its value, I think it's really just the people who want to play a game and they just want to pay for the game. Google just needs to explain that's what's happening here. And they need to have the games that people actually want to buy. That's what it comes down to for me, at least for me.
So yeah, if any of those 10 exclusive titles are something that's a must have, then yeah, absolutely.
Or really, if anything on the platform is a must have.
Yeah, and that's apparently not going to happen until September.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least knowing that all that's coming out in September, we'll know for a fact that Base is out by then. I mean, we would hope anyway.
God help us if it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
yeah.
And even then, like, I'm trying to think of what else. I guess Doom Eternal is one that a lot of people are excited for. That comes out in March, if we're right, and you know, next month Base comes out. Then you know that might be one that gets people's attention. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, Google still needs to add like a trial game just so people can try it out without spending money.
Trick with that though is that Doom Eternal is a sequel, which means if you're playing that, you've probably already played the original. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to sell people who don't have hardware to play Doom Eternal because they've already played Doom. I don't see it as a Stadia seller just on the basis of it being a sequel.
You think if with all that said that if that Stadia is ready for prime time with like just everything announced in the first 3 months of this year?
Yeah, I could see it. You know, at the Stadia Base, yeah, especially. It's like just being able to say, okay, I want to play this game. You buy that game and you play that game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's still some finicky stuff. Like people aren't going to, but nobody's going to go out and buy a Chromecast Ultra for this or anything like that. They're just going to
use their PC.
Play on their PC, yeah.
And maybe get a Stadia controller or something.
Maybe a controller, maybe just a new mouse.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be big news. And I would find it very odd if like Stadia, like what happened in November happened, and then what's coming up, something so quickly is coming up already by February and March timeline. To me, it does seem slightly rapid development. So yeah, we'll see. This is unlike any other Google product we've tracked, so it could end up the timelines for everything could be moving so much faster. And maybe like by November of this year, Google, that's their one year mark to see how everything has progressed internally and for them to gauge success of the product of the project.
Yeah, I just hope they manage to bring feature parity to all Yeah, they better have feature parity by then, or else be a little disappointing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for consumers, it's hard to explain to them why, like, what this specific thing just doesn't work on their phones when it works everywhere else. It's a hard sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard explanation. So yeah, any other thoughts to close out this Stadia episode?
A thing that's randomly going through my head lately is, do we think they're ever going to put it on the normal Chromecast?
On the normal?
Depends on, I don't, maybe they could lock it down to like third gen, but even that I'm not sure. I hear the limiting factor is the ability to, or is having the hardware to decode that that finer codec, that higher power codec that gets them to squeeze down as much as they can into that stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear that that is the reason. I don't have any firm proof on that, but I mean, it could happen.
It'd be awesome.
Would they release a new 1080p Chromecast? I do agree that only the third generation would get it if it comes down to anything lower. But would it be too soon for Google to release another Chromecast? It hasn't been 2018, October 2018, right? Was when they released.
Yeah. I could see them doing for 2028 just a Chromecast, not Chromecast Ultra, not
anything. Yeah,
and just a flatline, it's all 4K Chromecast.
Oh, it has to be cheaper though.
Yeah.
It can't be $80 if it's good, but then that's going to undercut all the people who just bought a Chromecast Ultra for Stadia.
The same thing. It has to be you're very right, Kyle. It has to be 4K, doesn't it?
Like, at you this can't point, do a 1080p streamer. Yeah, and at this point, they kind of need to do that anyway, because if you think of Roku and Amazon Fire, both of those now have 4K options that are under $50.
Where yeah. Chromecast Ultra is still $80.
And then and regular one is $35 and limited to 1080p. They need to just revise the Ultra and make it $50 or less. Yeah. They need to make it like $40, honestly.
I think it's $69 right now. Exactly.
Yeah, it's $35 and $70 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to make it $40.
Yeah, ideally.
And then make an Android TV box for $80.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed for that flagship that we were hearing about.
That would be something. That would be another big thing for Stadia this year, especially if when Android TV...
I think is this year, too.
Yes, for Android TV support, which just make it sound like it's coming to existing console, to existing Android TV units that get updated.
Piecing that together, that means we're looking at least second quarter or later, because we already know it's not going to be the first 3 months.
For
that matter, they just haven't settled that down yet.
Could be.
Yeah, and Android TV has a much later, like when they announce everything for when they release everything for phones in September, Android TV usually lags a bit, right, Ben?
Yes, it does, mainly because most of those features don't end up coming to the TVs for a while.
Yeah.
Because most of the progression we've seen in Android the past few years hasn't really mattered for TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pi and 10 didn't really matter as much for TVs, aside from a few little things. Which is also, and also all of the Android TV manufacturers are horrible at updates. Nvidia is good at putting them out over time, but I don't think I've ever seen an Android TV update hit within a month of Google announcing it.
Yeah, because the model is just different for these TV OEMs. It's just a cheap OS. It's just the OS to put on the cheap box.
Yeah, which is kind of fine.
Kind of fine for what it is. And yeah. Google rather have that than have another OS competing with them. But it doesn't make Android TV a reliable development platform for them, like host new features, which is disappointing.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's another thing that should be coming in 2020, that Android TV support, everything goes well. Stadia Base is like the one big question that we still have after this timeline announcement. yeah, that's pretty much everything else. That was our show covering all of Stadia, our update. I guess we should do another one of these at the end of March, or to just like recap how far Google got.
Sounds good.
Until then.
Yes, until then.
Until then, enjoy your cable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
Enjoy your old busted cable. But also until then, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast every Thursday and published every Friday morning. You can find all of us on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play. And you can, of course, listen on our site at 9to5google.com. Thank you for tuning in, as always. And thank you to Ben, and thank you to Kyle. And we'll see all of you next week.
See ya.
Bye.